all other officials. So if we're talking about a county treasurer, whereas today there is no advice and the consent of the Senate for that, with, as you understand, the underlying SJR...
We don't want to change that.
So we say all other officials, and we're saying unless this constitutional law provides otherwise. And again, right. So the intent of your amendment is to say that if currently under present law and under present wording of the Constitution, these are positions that are not subject to advice and consent, they're still carved out. And we could agree that's a good idea. Again, my concern is the law can change. In theory, the voters approved this in November. It's part of our state constitution, and we all come back in January, and we decide that county treasurers should be appointed by the governor with advice and consent of the Senate. And we can, and maybe 507 does that already. I don't think it does. But
constitutionally, it's a different appointment power.
It's the general appointment power.
The general appointment power. So we couldn't change that by just passing a law. We could do a constitutional amendment.
Well, and we could also put a sentence in this SJR saying, you know, this provision shall not be construed to modify the general appointment power as set forth in Article X, Section Y. Just a suggestion.
I don't see how it could be read to be construed that way. Maybe we can get some input from the desk.
My point being, the phrase or law in both sections of this amendment opens up, constitutionalizes all sorts of future acts of the legislature that you and I standing here today don't necessarily contemplate. I'm not saying that's how it would go down. I'm concerned that the words or law are delimiting, allow for future legislative changes that we don't contemplate and are not consistent with what you're trying to do. That's the only point I'm trying to make here. I'm confident we can address it readily. I just wanted to raise that before we go any further.
I appreciate that. I'm told that this same type of language is included in the general vacancy provision.
Okay.
Maybe where they pulled it from. The default of gubernatorial appointment, unless the law provides otherwise, essentially we can do what you're saying now under current law.
Say that again, I didn't quite understand.
Well, essentially, your concern, that's the way it is right now. We can do what you're saying the legislature might be able to come back and do. We can do that right now under current law because they've pulled this language, I'm told, from the general vacancy provision. So we just essentially copied it over.
Got it.
I think we'll be okay. If there's any concern that's raised as a result of this, I'd certainly be open to coming back and addressing it with
her. Sure. Well, that's helpful, and it looks like you're getting handed something. I'll give you a minute, but
it came out of Article 4, Section 4.
Got it. So we are borrowing from language in other section of the Constitution, and the question we probably can't answer here, I would be stunned if there is a case interpreting what or law means or doesn't mean, and I remain concerned that by saying or law, we create the same possibility I've mentioned a few other times. I guess the last thing I'll ask, and it's not germane to the amendment so much as the underlying SJR, and that is, you know, in 507 we talked about succession of lieutenant governor, and that's a pretty major section of 507. And I think when we're talking about that, I noted that SJR 30 doesn't really go into that. But could you just tell me why it is that we talk about something as important as succession of the lieutenant governor, and we're addressing that in a statutory fashion as opposed to in a constitutional fashion?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert on the Constitution, but my effort here was to establish the framework. The advice that we received was to establish the framework within the constitutional provision and get into the details in the statutes rather than putting the details
sure.
in the Constitution. You know, the power to tax, for example, the authority to tax in the Constitution is where that would belong. There was an effort a few years ago to do an initiative petition and put the tax rates in the Constitution. I don't believe they belong there. That was where I was going with that.
Well, I was going to say there are all sorts of things in our Constitution. We had Amendment 1 in 2004, I believe, that was quite prolix. That was a very long sort of statutory section inserted in the Constitution, and it was done for a specific reason, and reasons that ultimately voters, approved, or at least a narrow majority of them agreed with. But we have some very specific things in our Constitution that I think even advocates of that particular proposal would say we would prefer not to constitutionalize it. We just don't feel that we have a choice for reasons that go back to that particular debate. But my only observation is that to me the very concept of the topic of lieutenant governor succession I don't see in the SJR, and I continue to struggle with why something that important that we've been as a body working to address for more than a year now is something that we're talking about trying to address in statute as opposed to in the Constitution. And I'll leave it at that. I don't mean to take the rest of your mornings or the rest of your afternoon, for that matter, now that it's after the noon hour. But I just wanted to state my concerns with the language, dovetailing from the senator from the 34th's concerns.
Well, I appreciate the inquiry very much. I think that these issues need to be vetted out here, and that's the reason for debate. And I thank you for talking us through it and addressing your concerns. And like I say, if this could be a problem, it would be now, because it's current. It's the current situation with regard to those general appointments. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from 15th.
I have an amendment.
Senator from 15th, do you have an amendment to the amendment?
No, Mr. President. I withdraw my inquiry.
Any other senators desire to be heard on Senate Amendment number 1? Seeing none, Senator from Green, you recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from Green renews his motion on Senate Amendment number 1. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We've adopted Senate Amendment number 1. Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Joint Resolution number 30? Senator from 15th.
Amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
It is being copied and distributed. Mr. President, I would ask for a waiver of the reading, but will not close until people have an opportunity to review it.
Seeing no objections, waiver is granted. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yeah, Mr. President. This is the identical amendment that actually was distributed, but there was a numbering issue on it. So the new amendment, which is the same language, is currently being distributed. But by way of explanation, this amendment does two things that we did previously on the Senate bill that the senator from Green had previously. And this is just to make sure that we are, in fact, kind of a belts and suspenders approach to make sure those two things ultimately happen. The first being, if there is a vacancy for the lieutenant governor's office, we want to make sure that vacancy is filled by the people in the next general election, so you don't have party bosses picking out who it's going to be in an expensive special election. And then the second one, which was also approved by this body in the previous bill, and the one from the senator from the 11th referenced earlier, is to say that once a term is expired on one of these appointed boards or commissions, the governor has 60 days to fill it, or it is truly a vacancy. So the governor can, whoever the governor is, can reappoint that same person, and we can either approve or not, or appoint somebody new. It doesn't matter. But when that term expires, it should actually mean something. And so that would put that in this SJR as well. And with that, Mr. President, be willing to answer any questions.
Senator from the 15th moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 11th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from 15th, do you yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
When we were going through the bill as opposed to the resolution, you had two different amendments, but you put them all together.
Correct.
For time and sake. So the second issue, and we talked about this during the bill, I would like to see it that they are vacated. They don't get 60 days, but 60 days, again, as we've talked, helps a little bit with some of these boards of commissions that have to happen, or people don't have their license, or some other issues will occur.
Like if there isn't a rock solid appointment for the geological commission or something,
right?
The governor would have time.
That could happen, right?
You know, we want to make sure that no stone is left unturned when it comes to those kinds of boards.
Better the first time.
Well, not everybody heard it in the committee. I thought Everyone deserved to hear those.
It seems
and the five people listening online.
It seems to me that one of the major things that an executive could do is say, when are time's up, and then make sure that they're appointed by either, really, you know, a reappointment is, if I'm understanding it right, is simply a letter to the president pro temp saying I want to reappoint this
person. Right, and in fact, on the reappointments, they don't even show up, typically, to the gubernatorial appointments committee.
So some of these, you're just asking in a letter.
Yeah, just let us know who, yeah, right.
And let us go through the process to make sure that they've been doing a good job. As I stated when we talked about the similar amendment, my amendment that I have is much far superior than yours, but your leadership on this is really important because I really do believe that this is one of the most important issues we can get done this session. As small businesses and people deal with boards and commissions for their own livelihood, as they deal with state government, the efficiency of it, having the right people in the right job is important, and our advice and consent is crucial to that effort. So I thank you very much for doing this this amendment, and I hope we can get this.
Well, thanks for your help, too. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 7th, what reason do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 15th.
Senator from the 15th, do you yield?
Yes.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. So reading your amendment over here, and I apologize, I missed the exchange with the senator from the 1st. He may have asked this. The current law right now is the governor appoints the successor for the lieutenant governor until the time of the next general election?
Or a special election could be called. But the challenge that we have here with an appointment in this body is that the lieutenant governor actually has a role to play in kind of the ministerial duties of the goings-on here, the day-to-day stuff. So if we pass this, or if the voters pass this, it would just say that the president pro tem, he can't vote to, or he can't break ties, but the presiding and those sorts of things that we'll handle internally here in the Senate until the next general election when you have a lieutenant governor actually voted on by the people. But it would also avoid the cost of having a special election, you know, in between, say, 14 and 16, you know, if that were to happen.
So because of the ministerial duties of the lieutenant governor in this chamber is why that we would necessarily treat that office different from other statewide offices?
Yeah, because I think their duties are very, very different. In some ways, I mean, they're not really, the lieutenant governor's not really a legislator, but presides, can break ties. It's wholly encompassed in this Senate. I mean, it's the you know, the president of the Senate. And so I think what we're trying to do is avoid a situation where, primarily, look, the way current law exists is you could, if let's say the lieutenant governor was elected in 2012 and, you know, resigned or something in the middle of the summer of 2013, theoretically that could be an appointed position for, you know, for 3.5 years until someone's elected. I don't think that's a good thing for the people. I also don't think the special election process for that office would be a good thing because then, you know, the people don't get to weigh in on normal primaries and a general. So we're just saying that in that interim general election, you would have an election for lieutenant governor. And in that space in between, whether it's 5 months or a year and a half, that the Senate, the president pro tem would just assume those duties here that the lieutenant governor currently has. So I do think that job is a little bit different. We're not touching any of the other statewides.
So I understand if, you know, let's say that they vacate, if they get elected in 12, they vacate in 13, and there's 3 years left. The desire to have the people weigh in on who the lieutenant governor is going to be, and you're saying that it would be a full election for the primary as well as the general, so
yes,
that the state parties wouldn't decide who the nominee is?
Right, correct.
I certainly support that position. What happens cost-wise if the lieutenant governor vacates with 6 months until the next scheduled general election? So let's say they vacate in 15, and 16 the seat is up, and we're literally looking at 6 months between the time. And would you call a full election for the vacancy to be just 6 months long before the next? Is there any provision?
Well,
for
under
that?
Current law, that's exactly what could happen. But what this would do would just make sure that you won't have a full election for lieutenant governor's office until 2016.
So okay, so now if it's within a certain time frame, walk me through what happens then. So let's say the lieutenant governor vacates 6 months before November election. The governor has 30 days, according to this amendment, to call for a full election for that for that position? Explain to me.
Yeah, so you're either going to fall into, if there's a resignation or something, death or whatever, of lieutenant governor, a vacancy, you're either going to fall into, it's either going to happen, the election for that office will either happen in the presidential general election, let's say, which is when that office falls on, or that interim or midterm general election, either or. So if depending on when that event takes place, resignation, death, vacancy of some sort, you're either going to fall into the 14 or 16 or 18 or 20 or 22 or 24, but it'll be a normally scheduled general election where the people get to pick by way of primary and general, and you'll avoid these, number one, the special election that could possibly occur, which is expensive,
right.
And then also
okay.
the idea, and I don't, it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat, but you would have somebody just appointed out of the blue that's never been elected to preside and be the president of the Senate for however many months exists between that general election.
Okay, so you would basically saying is that if it falls before, let's say you get selected in 12, resigns in 13, then it would be the 14 general election
right.
that they would stand for. Now, would they serve just the 2 years remaining on that
Correct.
Initial term?
Yeah, that's right. They'd fill out the remainder of that term, and then there'd be another election for who, you know, if that person would run again or whoever else would run.
So I understand the reason for why you want to apply this to lieutenant governor. Why not make every statewide position subject to the same criteria?
I don't think they have the same role here. So you've got ministerial duties that the pro tem, you know, they start off, theoretically, the lieutenant governor could preside the whole time that we're here.
Right.
You know, the office of secretary of state or treasurer, they don't really have that role. And so I think it's just a little, in my view, it's a little bit different. I mean, if people want to handle those offices, you know, they could offer amendments and we could go up or down. I just think lieutenant governor is different enough because it, you know, that person exists here with us, you know, in the Senate, and it's kind of a unique duty.
So under current law, if the Secretary of State were to vacate or any of the other statewide offices, it's the prerogative of the governor to appoint the successor replacement for that until the next general election for?
I think they'd have to call, my understanding is, the governor would call a special election, you know, for that office, theoretically, depending on when it happened. I mean, kind of like what you're seeing with some of the House members, and even here, the former senator from the 22nd, you know, the governor does have some flexibility as to when to call a special election, but there is, you know, a limitation on that. So,
required to be a special election, or can the governor appoint someone to fill that role? Let's say if the Secretary of State were to vacate, can the governor appoint somebody for the remainder of that period of time?
Yes.
Has that
power? I think that's correct. Is that Jim? Is that correct? Okay. Yeah, that's my understanding.
Correct. Okay. All right. Well, I support your amendment. I just was curious as to why we weren't applying this across all statewide. That answers my question. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 2? Seeing none, Senator from the 15th, you recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from the 15th renews his motion to adopt Senate Amendment Number 2. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We've adopted Senate Amendment Number 2. Senator from the 4th, what reason do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
It has been distributed. I ask the reading be waived, and I move for its adoption.
Seeing no objections, the reading will be waived. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. It's a really simple amendment. Changes one word. As you know, when the governor makes interim appointments, as a body, we have 30 days to confirm those, or the governor has to withdraw those nominees and either reappoint them while we're in session, or if he doesn't do that, those appointees are banned from that position, and all my amendment does is move that 30 days out to 60 days.
Senator from the 3rd, move for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Green, what reason do you rise?
To inquire.
Senator from 4th, do you yield to inquiry?
I do.
Proceed.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Okay, tell me your thoughts on why we need to.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things. And I actually thought about putting an amendment on the amendment from the senator from 15, a sequestration for these appointees. But I decided to go this way. You know, the number of boards and the appointments are growing and growing. And
I have a bill on that.
You have a bill on that.
It's coming to the floor.
All right. So, you know,
I agree. We need to consolidate and reduce some of those.
I didn't offer the amendment to the senator from the 15th Amendment, but I thought after 60 days, if that vacancy isn't filled, it goes away. And we'll sequester these boards down to nothing. They'll just all go away for lack of action. But I decided to go this route because, you know, we have a lot of boards. We go through a lot of gyrations here, withdrawing them and bringing them back up. Just give 60 days. It's not going to make any difference whether they're appointed or not. And we don't go through gubernatorial appointments hearings that last for 3 hours the first week in February.
I'm not sure how many. I think about half of them right now. Well, I don't remember exactly how many are vacant, but are.
There's a lot of vacancies.
There are a lot of vacancies.
And you know, I got to tell you, my first, in 2010 or 11, those committee hearings would go on and on and on. There was just a number of appointments trying to get through by the 30-day deadline. So doesn't seem like that's the issue right now. I don't know what the next 2 weeks are going to bring.
The only concern I would have is there's something about a source of heat being incentive.
A sense of urgency?
A sense of urgency.
I thought about that, Senator. And here's the reason that I went ahead with the amendment. If he withdraws them and puts them back up, there's no urgency. So we're just making the governor's
staff. We don't have to send them back.
No.
If he withdraws them, we have to physically return that. We don't have to let go of it.
Yeah, but
I don't know
we?
If that's ever been done.
Do we?
Or not. Would you be? Let me ask you this: would you be willing to split the difference and increase it by 15 days?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd support that.
All right. Can we get another amendment? Or do you want to put an amendment on my amendment, or do you want me to withdraw mine?
Senator from Fourth, I'm being told that with unanimous consent, you can amend your amendment.
Mr. President, I would seek unanimous consent to amend my amendment.
Okay, state what your amendment would do.
Would you? I would change. I sent the amendment up. I would change the 60-day requirement to 45.
Hearing no objection, your change has been noted. Further discussion. Sorry, not to continue your inquiry.
I think we're finished, Senator.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Senator from the 11th.
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I think you had reached a good compromise there. My first reaction to your amendment was, you know, that condensed time allows the Senate to have a little more input on this. But the truth of the matter is the amendment that I strongly support from the Senator 15th says that those people are done in 60 days. So if we think we have a lot today,
right,
we're going to have a heck of a lot more ongoing. We're taking on some of the responsibility of the advice and consent, which we're all welcome to do. So I think your first blanket, I thought, what's he trying to do? But I think giving the executive a little more time and this body a little more time for that advice and consent probably would be a good thing, since the last amendment we cut out them. You know, there's boards of commission who are just there forever.
Right.
And there's no one, they're just there forever. So now that won't happen, and you've given them 2 weeks to help with that.
Giving them 2 extra weeks to give the consent, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a good amendment, and I'm glad that the Senator from Green is going to be behind your great compromise that you just made with 15 days. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Seventh.
To inquire the Senator from Green.
Senator from Green, do you yield? Proceed.
Chair, I want to talk about the underlying bill for just a moment here. It occurred to me that, I understand what you're trying to accomplish here with the underlying bill saying that after 90 days of the creation of a vacancy, the lieutenant governor shall make the appointment. The word selected on line 15 on page 2 is, I think, very, very important. I could see a scenario in the future under the current conditions that we have right now. We have split party at the top of the ticket. So we have a Democratic governor and a Republican lieutenant governor, and we have a Republican-controlled Senate. What would the word selected being very important, what would prohibit the Republican-controlled Senate from not confirming the entire slate of gubernatorial nominees in order to have that 90-day lapse? And even if, let's say the governor comes in and he selects his people and they're held back in committee and the 90 days goes past, is the word selected to be meant all he has to do is submit the names and that 90-day grace period is fulfilled and that person gets to go through the confirmation process? If he's not confirmed, does the clock start over for the governor? I would hate to see a scenario where we threw out an entire slate of nominees just to make the 90-day clock expire and then give it to the lieutenant governor to make those appointments.
Tell me again which line you're referring to.
On line 15,
okay.
Page 2, it says, except that if no person is so selected within 90 days. Now, it doesn't say confirmed. It says selected. So am I to believe that if the governor were to submit a slate of nominees to fill these vacancies, that fulfills the requirement of selected, thereby canceling the 90-day clock?
That's the way I read it.
Because
we went further to address that with the senator from the 10th Amendment in 507 dealing with tolling the bell, tolling the time period. So,
okay.
I think that is...
It doesn't
refer to confirmation there.
What would constitute the 90-day clock starting over? Let's say the governor selects a member
for
a board.
For example.
They're withdrawn, and let's say he selects them. Does this count for interim appointments as well?
All appointments.
So if he selects somebody to serve on a board in July, and they're selected within that time period.
Yeah, there's no 90-day clock at all at that point.
Okay, so once the governor has said, here's my name,
mm-hmm.
then rather that person goes through and gets confirmed. If they're not confirmed and they're withdrawn, let's say that the person is held in gubernatorial committee, they decide to withdraw their name, at that point, does the 90-day clock then start over for the
yes.
governor?
That's the way it reads.
Okay.
Because we're not dealing with confirmation there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank
Good
you, Mr.
question.
President.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 3? Seeing none, Senator from the 4th, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
Senator from the 4th renews his motion to adopt Senate Amendment Number 3. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We've adopted Amendment Number 3. Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Joint Resolution Number 30? Seeing none, Senator from Green recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Green renews his motion on Senate Joint Resolution Number 30 be declared perfected and order printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill will be declared perfected and order printed. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order of Senate bills perfection. Please call the calendar.
Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill 613, Senator from Franklin.
Present.
Senator from Newton.
Please place that at his request. Please place that on the informal calendar.
That bill will be placed in the informal calendar. Senator from Newton.
Without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. It's the order of business that we're on. Looking for the senator from the 24th. Senator from Newton, do you have a report?
President, I have a report on your rules, joint rules, resolution, ethics.
Please send it forward. Secretary, would you please read that report?
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill No. 651, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill No. 649, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill No. 652, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard, Chairman.
I'd like to announce for members that the prayer breakfast will not be taking place tomorrow morning. The prayer breakfast scheduled for tomorrow morning is canceled. We're still waiting on reports of standing committees, waiting for the senator from the 24th. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, I have a report from the senator from the 24th.
Please send that report forward. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Pensions, to which was referred Senate Bill 530, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Seniors, Families, and Pensions, to which was referred Senate Bill 518, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee Substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Lamping, Chairman.
The scant chance that the senator from the second is listening, we would be taking reports from him if he were here today. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, would you want me to go find the senator from the second?
I don't believe he's in the building. He's not here. He's not in the building.
Not in the building. Okay. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President. President, no further business come with the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
Apparently not. You've heard the motion from the senator from Newton. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.